We go live for
Hi, Eric.
season. It is wear your hat backwards season, apparently.
Yeah, we're transitioning right now. We're transitioning. The beanies are not put away yet, but the backwards hats are starting to come out.
But I think we need to make it clear to people that, like, we don't we don't communicate during the week, and that's by choice. I mean, on my end, at least.
Yeah, I really don't look forward to, like, this is the really only time I want to talk to you.
Right. And even this is overkill sometimes, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's why I have to cut it short. But we don't talk about what we're putting on our heads on the show or anything. We just pop in 5 minutes in advance and here we are. I mean, we're kind of matching with the orange and blue.
Mm-hmm.
I think vibes were sent and received. I don't know.
Vibes were sent. Vibes were received. And we're stuck together, me and you.
I mean, like, and obviously the reason I'm wearing it is the same as you, to hold my hair back out of my
face.
That's
right. Same reason. Yep.
Yeah. So it
makes me faster.
It looks like yours is a snapback. Mine's the the little tightener thing, but either way.
Yeah, mine. Do you want to see mine? I know.
Not so much now.
I'm going to show you anyway.
Go show me.
Here we go. It's Sunshine Bear.
Huh.
Well, I think it's
Idiot Runner Bear.
Yeah, yours is your fancy Idiot Runner.
Yeah. You know, it's 7:30 at night in my house, so I put on a backwards hat. That's how we roll. You got to look good for the people, Grace. You know, this all doesn't come easy. Yeah, it's not like I wake up like this.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wore my Care Bear hat, and over the weekend, I ran 30 miles for my friend Clara's birthday. She ran 38, but I just did 30 of it. And you learn all kinds of things during a run with other people. And so I have trivia for you, Eric.
I'm listening.
I have trivia for you. What is the underside of a turtle called? Like the bottom of the shell?
Yeah, it's called the turtle belly. Duh.
No, it's called a plastron. And so I asked, and Gina told me this. So I asked Gina if this is my plastron right here, right? I'm pointing at my belly. If this is my plastron. And she said, it's my plastron. And I said, if I was a Care Bear, I would have a magical plastron. So.
Huh. That's good stuff, Grace.
That's my plastron.
Plastron.
Right here.
Huh. He sees it. We sees it.
It's all my right. Plastron.
Well, you let me know when we're done talking about your plastron and we can start this show.
Okay. I'm good.
You sure? All right. You ready? Anything else you want to talk about? Your backside, since you talked about your front side or anything like that?
I forget what that one's called, but I'm happy to know that I have a plastron. I wish it were magical. It's not. But that's
it's okay. Magical. It is magical to me. It's magical.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Let's get on the other side of the intro and we can keep doing this silliness. Ready?
Got it.
Grace, this episode is all about rest and recovery and even when to let things mend. Let's dive into all the good stuff on episode 110.
Nice.
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right. Business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Tenth of the way to 200 from 100.
Yeah. Guess how many subscribers we have on YouTube?
110.
No. 379 subscribers.
How come the little number we have in the upper left corner of my screen here, I mean, I'm pointing, as you can see, yeah, doesn't say 310?
Well, we might have some folks who are busy tonight. They might be working.
No.
They might be working.
No, it's not okay.
For a paycheck?
You can watch, you can sneak it on your phone when you're working.
Well, they got to make them paychecks.
I'm kidding. I know. That's a pretty awesome number, though. I mean,
that's 379. Getting... That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see 500.
I did. I'll be honest with you. I've said this before. I don't think I know 379 people. I know I don't. So
no,
the fact that there's 379 people that at one point in time had an inkling of a thought to see my face on a silly podcast, that makes me feel kind of warm.
Hey, well, that's not even our viewers. Those are the subscribers. Those are people who like not only saw an episode, but they were like, boop, I'm going to click on that button, click on the subscribe so that I get, so that I know when new episodes are coming.
Right, right. I got you.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, 379 humans. Because you make us feel like pretty good, you know, nice and
379 warm. Bucks. That's how it makes me feel.
I don't get it. What's that mean?
Yeah, that's a lot of money for me.
For me too. That's a that's like almost two pairs of shoes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say. I break everything up into how many pairs of shoes I can purchase.
Yeah.
I tried out the new Topo Ultra Ventures because I'm looking for something high cushion for my horseshoe trail adventure. Mm. And I don't love them, but I don't love anything that's high cushion on the trail. So I'm not going to fault them for it. I think Topo is still a really great shoe. I just don't like the marshmallowy feel when I'm on trail. When I'm on road, it's fine, but
I like marshmallowy feel, but it's got to feel like it's, you know, it's got some return there pushing you forward.
Yeah, I like the ground feel. I like to feel the barefoot feel. Oh. I prefer. And so, wow. I don't know, I my arch was pretty unhappy by the time I was done. And I don't know. I'm in like a shoe lull at the moment, and I'm less than 2 weeks away from hitting the trail, and so I'm running out of time to make a decision on what I'm going to wear for shoes, because I can't really change shoes when I'm out there, you know?
Yeah, that would be hard. You don't want to carry them with you and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean about a shoe low. Like, I don't know, I'm constantly, I spend way too much on shoes. I'm constantly mm-hmm. looking for the perfect shoe. And once I find the perfect trail shoe, then I got to find the perfect road shoe. And it's not, right. It never matches up. I personally, and this isn't a plug of any sorts, but I've recently started using Roadrunner Sports and, you know, .com, the shoe store, Roadrunner. Anyway, let me digress. Roadrunner Sports, they have a VIP program. You pay like $15 a year or something like that. Then you get free shipping, you get 10% off, and you get 90 days to play with any shoes you want. And if you don't like the shoe, you return it. So nice. I've been kind of taking advantage of that more than I ever have before, mainly because I've been looking for a pair or two or three for the 24-hour event, because I plan on switching and I want it to be the perfect shoe. I'm not going to just settle. I know what I want. And so I've done that once or twice. But yeah, anyway, it's hard to find the perfect shoe.
Right. Yeah. And I did get these at REI. So REI has pretty good return policy. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to return them or not. Let's see.
I mean, if you like the feel of them, you can always use them on fun runs.
I don't like the feel of them, though.
Yeah. Return them.
I know. I really like my Flux, and I've been happy with those for like the past year. And I don't know. I'm whining about it. That's my problem.
You should be sponsored by Flux because you're the only person I've ever heard mention the shoe brand Flux.
I'm the only person I know who runs in them. I don't know anybody else who runs in them.
Seriously, like they're not a huge company. So I'd be reaching out, be like, yo, love your shoes. Here's what I do. I got a podcast. I like doing FKTs. Give me the free shoes. Yeah. I'm serious. You got to try. You would be surprised.
I don't think they're going to care.
Whatever. I'll do it for you.
Thank you. I have a few pair of their shoes, and I just bought another pair.
Hey, if it works for you, then that's amazing.
I know. Yeah. You got to go with what works for you. And I've tried a lot of shoes. So, but I got some other shoes that I use, like you said, on fun runs. I got other stuff. I do switch it up. I don't only wear them, but that's what I've found works for me for long distance, is what I'm saying.
Yep.
Like 50 mile and above.
We better get down to business.
Let's get down to business. We were talking about recovery, right?
We're talking about rest and recovery and all that fun stuff. So, question, Grace.
Uh-huh.
Does a hum mean you're ready, prepared?
Yes, correct.
Okay. You ran 31 miles on what day? Saturday?
Yeah.
What did you do when you finished? Tell me about the first half hour after you finished. I want honesty here. No lying because it's okay.
I definitely am lazier with my recovery for anything that's below of 50 miles. So the first thing that I do is I get into dry clothing. That's the very first thing that I do.
Same.
And I got into some comfy shoes. I got into some comfy sweats. Actually, I was wearing my Idiot Runner pants immediately afterwards. And then I drove home and it was around dinner time. So Jason and I got dinner and I had a Jersey Mike's wrap chicken.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, so I go for, I knew that I wanted to get in some protein afterwards and a little bit of carbs, but not go crazy on either one. So I had some, I had a chicken wrap. It was good.
Nice.
Yeah. And I went to bed at a decent time. And the next day I took a nap and it was lovely.
That's good. I like hearing that.
Yeah. So I probably didn't do all the things that I need to do. But a couple of them, you know, I also hit the gym the next day and I put some little soft lotion on my feeties and I put some socks over them because my feet were feeling a little rough.
Good. I guess that what I was leaning towards for the recovery part of things is that it's best and like for longer runs, let's just call it any weekend long run. Plus your 50Ks and 50 milers that you do every other weekend. But any of them, it's usually best to try to get calories in you as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. But a lot of us, including myself, aren't always like super hungry right after we run.
Mm.
Like right after. So a lot of us wait until our stomachs and our heart rates come down and everything kind of settles and then we're hungry, but you miss a lot of times you do miss that important window at that point. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Do you agree with me? I'm right there with you. I do the same thing, but everything I've always read and seen is like, there is a short window, where it really matters. And then obviously you're still, like what you did, it's still refueling and stuff, just not as efficiently, I guess, as it could have been.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that that's most people. Sadly, I'm not most people. And I can eat immediately when I'm done with a run without a problem. This particular run, I just decided to have dinner with Jason. But if he would have said that he already had dinner, then I would have stopped on my way and gotten a big old sub or a wrap or something like that and eaten it immediately. If there would, and I usually try to have something available to me. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I'm not real consistent with it, as consistent as I should be. But I'm one of those odd ducks. I can go ahead and chomp on a big old pizza. I'm not going to do pizza because pizza hates me, but I could have a big old burger right when I finish running and my stomach is totally fine.
Yeah. Another thing I want to point out that's along those lines and recovery, obviously, that I've been practicing myself as much as possible, because I do think it's important. And I'm at the point right now where like everything seems to be working. So I want to keep repeating it over and over and not changing anything. But So you did a 50K, I'll use that for example. Were you mindful of how often you were fueling during that, however many hours you were out there? Or was it just like when you're hungry, you ate?
Yeah, I was, I typically do every 30 to 45 minutes. This particular run, I was doing larger amounts a little bit less often, more like 45 minutes to an hour, but only because I was trying out some things for the horseshoe trail, because I'm going to be going slower for the horseshoe trail. I'm not going to be going as hard. But usually 30 to 45 minutes I'm fueling, and then I usually eat right afterwards.
Yeah. And my point along those lines is, let's just assume you're fueling every 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You have an hour left. So you fuel, and then you fuel again with 30 minutes left of your run.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I'm explaining this right. Anyway, it's easy to say, oh, I only have 45 minutes left. I'm just going to eat this one gel or this one piece of sand or half of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
And get through. But I've been fueling on cis gels. But what I'm getting at is, even though I only have 15 minutes left to run and it's time for me to eat, it'd be easy to just say, well, it's 15 minutes, I'm going to save the gel. I've been making it a point to consume it, even though I only have 15 minutes of that gel left, because the other 15 minutes that would have been used is helping with that recovery that we're talking about anyway.
Yeah.
Does any of that make sense? I feel like I explained that a lot more complicated than what I was trying to say.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you just keep feeling your body. And I equate it to, like, when I explain it to people, it's like, well, when it comes to fueling, and this goes for fueling before a race, during a race, and after a race, Our bodies are not like gas tanks. Like, you can't just like keep going 90 miles an hour until you run out of fuel, and then you perform at 90 miles an hour the same the entire time. You're more like a plant where like you can't just douse yourself with a bunch of water and then it lasts the whole time. Like your plant needs a little bit of water all the time so it can stay green, you know?
Yeah, we like green plants.
That's right. So I think you're spot on. And I think it's easy to fall off of nutrition toward the end of a long run. I think it's easy to fall off of nutrition post run. And I think it's especially true when you're in high volume training, which is really what a big part of what we're talking about is high volume training, where you just feel like you're eating all the time, but that's what your body needs at the moment. And I think a part of the trick, and we talked about this before, and it's not really a trick, but a part of the plan is to have small amounts frequently. And a lot of other meals, I don't change. Like my long run that I had on Saturday, 30 miles, I had the same breakfast that I have every morning. So I didn't really change that up. I have a combination of carbs and protein every morning. I have scrambled eggs with egg whites and English muffin. Same thing I had that morning. It's great breakfast. And then I'm having small amounts throughout the entire run. And then afterwards, hit up that protein so you can get that good old muscle recovery with plenty of hydration throughout.
Right? Well, since you're sharing your pre-run breakfast, I want to share mine because I've been eating the same exact pre-run breakfast since basically January 1st, and it works for me. I'm always excited for it, like super excited for it because I love breakfast. But long run days, I eat it before, like on the weekends, I'll eat it before I run, but weekday runs, I eat it when I return. I actually, weekday runs, I run with nothing but just a cup of coffee in me. But that's an hour or less run most of the time. And then I'm super hungry when I get home. But my breakfast consists of 3 eggs with chicken. Chicken is in there, chopped up chicken. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And then after that, after I finish that and I cry because it's gone, I get myself a hopefully perfectly ripe banana, which has a few brown spots, but not on the nanner part, just on the skin, just so we know.
Okay. There's no green. On the butt.
No, there's no green at the top of the stem in a perfect world. And it's got the sweetness, just perfection. Then that banana lays on my plate. I have a fork and I get way too many gobs of either almond butter or cashew butter. And I slice off my pieces of banana and I dip way too much nut butter and I take a bite. And then I finish the banana and nut butter and that's my breakfast.
Love it. That's a great breakfast.
I mean, it fills me up. It works. I mean, I won't mention the fact that I take several handfuls of nuts after that in my mouth and raisins and stuff like that. But so that's my breakfast.
Nice.
I fully believe that I'm pretty much, I'm not strict, but I think the way my diet's falling these days, I'm definitely like low carb, high fat running. But it seems to be doing the job.
Nice.
It's interesting though, because like I never aimed to get to that point. I don't know what it is about almonds and cashews, Grace, but since I cut out like junk food, that is my junk food and I'm so addicted to them. Like, between Becky and I, we go through a big tin like every 3 days. Yeah. Not even right. But
yeah,
it's working. You know, it's fine.
Better than not. Everybody's different. I love cashews and nut butters, and I actually cut them out of my diet, and I felt a lot better. Wow. I started decreasing my fat and about the same carbs. I haven't really been low carb, but I started decreasing my fat and felt so much better. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's funny how different people work. I mean, I still don't eat peanut butter. I was eating all natural peanut butter, no sugar added, no oil, which I enjoy, but I still have yet to go back to that because I love almond butter and cashew butter just as much.
I love it. Yeah, I love them all. I miss them. I miss olives. Like, I would just have olives and peanut butter and avocado and all that good stuff every day, and I cut all of it out.
I eat all of it for you, don't you worry.
That's all right, I have all the carbs for you, they're delicious. Yeah.
So anyway, on a long run on the weekend, I will definitely, I run in the mornings, but I come back and the first thing I do is eat another nanner with more nut butter. You know the best part about weekend long runs, especially when they're in the morning?
What's that?
Is second breakfast.
You get second breakfast.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like, that's all I think about the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
But second again, it's that fueling afterwards. It's and the second breakfast a lot of times is the same. It's the protein from the eggs, the chicken, and the banana and nut butter is just heaven.
Nice. Now, tell me more about your recovery, because you're doing a lot of miles right now, which is awesome. And you're dealing with it well. That's the thing, you know, when you up your mileage and things start breaking down, then it's time to back off. But the high mileage is going well. So tell me more about what you do for recovery. We talked about nutrition. I assume you're getting in plenty of hydration too. So what else are you doing?
Well, it's kind of complicated and it requires a lot of science, but basically I do a really long run on a Saturday, for example, and then I come home and do nothing.
Nice. Okay. So tell us more about the nothing.
Now, you know the feeling though, don't you? You come home, you're like, I don't want to do all the adulting things because I already did work and I'm proud of myself. Mm. The rest of the day is mine. Do you feel that way? Because I feel that way all the time. I'm like, whatever, screw it. Yard work.
Yeah, yard work is stupid. And when you're running out all day, you feel like you've gone on this great adventure and then you come back to this box that you, bills. Stupid.
But no, I mean, I'm the wrong guy to ask. I mean, I rest. I've been trying to do stretching more than I ever have. Not yoga, really. Just simple stretching because I did none. I don't really think that plays a factor, but I've been very anal about my sleep. It's probably a little overkill because we have to have lives outside of running. But my goal is to just get to this race and then lighten up a little bit as far as what I'm doing here. I know it's ridiculous, but I'm trying to get 8 hours of sleep every night, which is, I think we all can agree, that's very hard.
It is very hard, but I think it's really important to do it. And if you can sneak in a nice little 15-minute cat nap, then all the better when you're doing mileage like that. I think that people will often try to fit in because, I mean, realistically, you're not doing this kind of mileage all year, right? You're doing it for a very specific window of time so that you can peak at just the right moment. And then you're going to taper quickly and have an amazing race day, right? So this is a specific window of time where the priority is training runs and recovery. Those are the two biggest things. And so people will have this plan of 6 months of training, and then also they're buying a house in between there, and they're a new grandbaby's born, and then they decide to get another dog. All this other stuff is happening, and it's whoa. Just, you got this window, get your good, hard quality work in, life happens, but to some extent you can, I think, say, hey, maybe I don't volunteer to bring the cookies for book club next time. And maybe I take a pause from book club for 2 months so that I can get in my good quality work and go to bed at a decent time and get 8 hours of sleep. Because at the end of the day, does it matter that much that you were also in five other clubs? I don't think so. You know, how bad do you want it? And so I think that sleep is hugely important. And I think there are some things that can be put on pause to get the sleep in and make it a priority.
It's definitely a priority. And I said it, I think I said it on the last show or somewhere, but I truly believe that it's the biggest overlooked thing that can help your training and your racing. Yeah. And it's not something that you can go, work through the weekend on 5 hours of sleep. And then Friday night, you get eight and you say, oh, but I'm going to be rested and recovered for Saturday morning. You got to bank it up. You got to let your body get recovered for a week or two even. I don't know how many weeks for some people, but it's not going to be an overnight thing. It's just important. And it's been work. I don't know. I'm not a sleep expert, but or a run expert by any means, but it's been, I told you earlier in the show, I'm doing the stuff that works for me and I'm trying my best to not change a thing. I'm not getting too crazy about it, but if it's not broke, don't fix it. And that comes down to everything I'm eating. And I'm enjoying my food, don't get me wrong. And it's mixed up every day, but I'm not changing anything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep. I agree. I mean, I do listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of research, and I read the books and the blogs and all the science and everything. And sleep is a huge, it's a big piece of the puzzle. And I do think it's one of the most overlooked pieces of the puzzle because your body needs all of that. So I think if you can do anything for yourself, here's what I see people try to do sometimes is, like, they've got their running is the priority and that's settled. And then they get their nutrition settled. And then they decide to, like, take up yoga or something like that. And they're still only getting 5 hours of sleep. And it's like, how about you just back off of the yoga and get some quality sleep, especially, like I said, when you're in that block. Now, if you're in a build block where you don't have your race coming up soon and yoga gives you joy, then certainly fit that in, but you lessen your run so that you can still get good rest, you know? So I think it's balancing out where are you in the training block and what's the most important thing right now. And a lot of times that rest is so important. It helps with your mood, you know? It does help with nutrition as well, because if you're awake, people who stay awake longer tend to eat more calories. So there's solid research behind just getting more sleep helps you not eat not overeat, you know, to excess. You know, you always want to eat enough to fuel your day and fuel your runs, but eating to excess is more likely to happen if you're not getting enough rest. So I think rest is a super one, definitely overlooked. I try to get 8 hours a night. You know, most nights it's 7-8 hours of sleep. And if I can sneak in a nap on the weekends, then all the better. I'm all for a power nap. Do you power nap?
That's funny you say that. Like, yeah, I do. And I'm tired a lot. But I changed my diet at the beginning of the year, I have been a million times less fatigued in midday, even with running.
Yeah.
Yes, I could lay down and take a nap, but I don't have to lay down and take a nap. I was
at
that point before all this. So it's a big difference. But yeah, I mean, like you said, my recovery after a long run, I'm tired all day, you know. I'm outside trying to do stuff. I cut down a couple of trees last weekend, and like every step's just effort. And I know it's still good for me to keep the blood moving and not sit stagnant on the couch, but I'm just tired. So it's hard to not overdo it.
Yeah, I hear you. I like a good power nap if I can fit it in. I used to be one of those who needed it until I made some changes with my diet. And one of the biggest things that was affecting me that I didn't know I had was a gluten intolerance. So when I took gluten out of the picture, that was a big, big help for me. It's so stupid. I hate saying that I even have it because it makes me sound dumb, but I have a gluten intolerance. I cut out the gluten and now I'm less tired. Although if I want to take a nap, all I have to do is eat a bagel and I am out like a light because it gluten knocks me out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's wild. I can put myself into a gluten coma if I want to. I usually bagels are not worth it. I love a good bagel, but it's just not worth being exhausted like that. So you started doing a little bit of stretching. Do you stretch after your run?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Stretch.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Next question.
No, like I don't have I don't have any specific sequence or anything really. Just all the important ones. I'm super not stretchy because I'm a runner who doesn't do all the things they should. So it's easy to do a stretch and feel the stretch happening. As stupid as I sound right now, that's all I'm trying to do is be more mindful of stretching out the legs and the hips, the back, the neck.
Yeah.
One thing, yeah, we won't get too involved in it, but one thing I've noticed, I've been trying, you know, the pace that I'm going to have to run is a slower pace than I'm used to, but it's going to be for 24 hours. So it's actually been a struggle for me to dial it back to that pace so it can get used to it, because I'm not veering off of that pace. That is going to be my pace. I won't let it happen. But when I slow down my runs, like on a track, from like my normal comfortable just pace, a long run, I'll get this knot in the back of my neck, right at the base of my shoulders. And it's an achy knot. And I'm trying all the things. I'm stretching while I'm running. I'm rolling out my shoulders. I'm making sure my posture is good. I don't know what it is. If anybody has any good info to give me, I'm shocking it with the TENS machine now. I'm trying to do strengthening exercises. Maybe I have a weak neck. Never bothered me when I run a comfortable fast pace for a long run. I don't know how to say that, but maybe I'm throwing all my posture away when I slow down to that shuffle that it feels like for myself. I don't know, but it's really weird. And it's painful a little bit. It's bothering me, but hopefully it won't be an issue.
Pretty sure it's an implant. So you should get that checked out.
Like aliens going to pop out.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll need it. Great.
The whole little family.
That was a little side tangent off of what we're talking about, though.
Tapeworms. Just a family of tapeworms.
It's fun. I stretch. I've been doing a little core work, probably not enough core work, because I know form's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Over 24 hours, but I don't know. I mean, it comes down to exactly what you were saying a few minutes ago. I only have so many hours in a day.
Right.
I've been doing double runs every day. I come home, eat dinner, and go to bed.
Yeah. I mean, the research shows like the thing that you can do to improve your performance. And number one thing is that usually pops up is consistency. And number two is just miles. Like that's it. That's the special formula is miles. It's just, and it's, you know, 80-20, 80% easy and 20% high quality miles, you know, but it's just time on feet. It's a whole lot of miles. That's what makes you a better runner. If you want to be a better runner, go run. So
four of my last, I gotta brag this up a little bit, and I'm only doing this because I'm proud of myself. Four out of the five last of the past weeks, I've hit 100 miles. I never would have dreamed of doing that before as a runner. So it's pretty cool to see. And it's exactly what you're saying. It's doing no crazy workouts or anything, but it's just consistency and hardening the legs and the body and the time, you know, forcing myself to make the time to do it. Prioritize, but craziness.
Yep. Well, congratulations. I think that's something to be proud of. It's great when you get a really good training block in. Now, I do stretch after most of my runs, and I do a classical toe touch. I do a nice little quad stretch. I do a little calf stretch. And then I do a little figure four, and that's it. Just four stretches, and takes me, you know, 2 minutes while I'm standing there chit-chatting with people after a group run, or just a couple minutes while I'm like waiting for my Strava to upload. So I'm not sitting in the car looking at my stats. You know, I just like look at it while I'm touching my toes. So those are the four stretches that I do. Now I don't have as much flexibility as I used to, but from my dance background, I'm fairly bendy and fairly stretchy. I love stretching. It's so much fun. But because I only have so many hours in a day, I just do those four stretches and call it good. Now, I have been doing more foam rolling than I used to. So I'm doing that for this training block. I'm doing more foam rolling. Just taking 5 minutes out of my day and trying to foam roll. And I also have one of those chirp wheels, and I use the chirp wheel on my back. And I absolutely love it.
You know what I've noticed? It's kind of weird with the higher mileage. I guess my body's probably not used to, but I'll get random like Charlie horses in my feet.
Hmm.
which they're very painful, but it's completely random, not when I'm running, just recovering and stuff. It just must be the extra stress I'm putting on things. My feet feel fine when I run and everything, but it's funny.
Now, one of the things I incorporated a couple years ago, and I swear it has helped me with recovery, because as you know, my training mileage is usually somewhere between 30 and 50 miles. Now, for me, 50 miles in a week takes me a long time. So that's a lot of time on feet that might be equivalent to your 70 miles, you know, just because it takes me longer.
Right.
So 30 to 50 miles is usually what I'm hitting for the week, but I have been racing a lot this year. So that put me up even higher with mileage and doing some pretty tough stuff back to back. And I swear part of the reason why I've been able to do that, I don't have science behind this one. Well, I do. There's a lot of good research for it. It's the second most researched supplement out there is creatine. And creatine, you would think, you know, why do you need creatine as an endurance runner? But the research suggests that it helps with recovery. So I don't know if that's the thing that's working for me personally, just because everybody's different. But the research has shown that for endurance athletes, creatine can help with recovery. It could just be in my head. But I've been using creatine for about 2 years now, pretty consistently. So I have it every day, unless I'm not home for some reason. If I'm traveling, I usually don't bring it with me. But every single day is one dose of creatine in the morning. So I take it at the exact same time every day.
Well,
that's been part of my recovery.
It's also important to note that you did say it might just be in my head. That's the case for a lot of things. And if it is just in, if you feel like it's just in your head, freaking go with it, because everybody's good.
I mean, if my body keeps letting me race hard like this and then race again the next weekend without being injured, then I'm all for it. You know, that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean when I was saying I'm trying to keep everything consistent. If you have two good weeks, if you have a great race next week, you can run again and you're still healthy. And then 2 weeks later, you run another race, and you're still healthy. Do what you just did in that 3 week period and don't freaking change a thing. Why would you? In my opinion, until something starts going south, dial it in.
Yep.
That's where I'm at.
Yep, absolutely. So creatine has been a great one for me. There's the whole water retention factor, which I don't care. That's fine. I carry another pound and a half in the exchange, I recover faster, then who cares?
Right.
So that's been a big part of my recovery strategy. What else are you doing?
That wraps it up as far as my recovery strategy. I'm feeling amazing every day that I normally would have done a long run. The next day I'd feel fatigued. I'm feeling good. I'm being very mindful of purposeful, slower, easier miles, because speed isn't everything for what I'm training for at all. So I am being mindful of chilling out the following day after a big run, big mile day. And not letting it get in my head or anything. But yeah, the legs could go if they wanted to, but I'm more thinking about the days past that run rather than that day. You know, perfect example is yesterday. Like, I could have run another 20 miles. I know I could have, but this is a big week for me here. So I wanted to start off Monday feeling good. And if I would have run 20 yesterday, it would have been great for that week. But I'd start today needing a very slow mile, low mile recovery day, you know?
Yep.
That type of thing. Absolutely. Pretty common sense stuff, I think. But
I have just a couple more things that I do. I will also use Floyd's of Leadville cream. They have a recovery balm that I really like. And that seems to make my muscles happy.
You know, recovery balm I like almond butter balm all over me. All over.
That's let me so lick gross. It
I don't care.
That's disgusting. I don't want to hear about yours and Becky's kinks now.
Oh, man.
So Floyd's a Leadville recovery balm. I love. And I don't do it much anymore because I can't afford it because I have a kid in college. But I used to get regular massages. I would just once a month get a 60-minute massage. And then if I had an upcoming race, I would try to time one, you know, a little bit before and one a little bit after. So I really miss those. Wish I could fit those in again. Maybe someday I will be able to. I'll still go like once every 3 months. But massages are really good. I do have a massage gun that I'll use. And then I think you can't discount the power of some active recovery. After a big, huge run, you know, Saturday I did 30 miles. And then Sunday I was in the gym on the climber and went for a walk, you know. So I think that going for a walk and doing some easy movement the next day, not just doing nothing. I think doing nothing is worse unless you have an injury. But as long as you're not injured, you know, a 15-minute walk, a 20-minute walk after a long run just does wonders. So yeah. I'm all for it. Active recovery.
Yep. Stay moving.
Yep.
All right. We should wrap it up.
We should. So we covered a lot of stuff. To recap, we covered nutrition and how important that is. Big, big, important. And we covered sleep, which is big, important. I mean, food and naps. Those are like, you can't go wrong with those. And then we covered some stretching, some foam rolling, and we talked about some balms, some massages, some creatine, some supplements, hydrating, lots of good stuff that you can do for your bodies, but ultimately take care of yourself when you're in a big training block because you will be glad that you did. And then, I mean, if you do that, I think the goal is so that you can go harder on the hard days. You know what I mean? And you can put in more miles if you're treating yourself well with recovery. It's not selfish and it's not, it doesn't show weakness or anything. It makes you able to do even more miles, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Love your body.
That's right. What about mustaches? Because you decided, sir, to give yourself a stash.
You can't even see it on here. That's how good it looks on me, is it just blends right in.
What are you thinking? Are you going goatee again? Is that what's
happening? I don't know what I was thinking. I go the fact that I hate shaving, so it's just going to be hair all over my face again. I don't know. I was just playing around because I knew it'd be gone in a matter of a couple of days, but kind of growing on me. Thicken up, come over
there. Fu Manchu. I want to see a Fu Manchu.
The handlebar thing? No, that is for tough guys, and I am not a tough guy. So.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I'm okay. That does not.
You're a cashew butter guy.
I am all over my body. Remember that. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I'm just playing around. You know, this stuff, it's not like permanent, so who cares? Silliness.
I'm excited to see what you show up with at Heiner. Let's see what.
Who knows? Maybe I'll go bare face. I don't know. Bare face since
eyebrows and all. I see you go full.
I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's why I suggested it.
We'll see. Maybe I'll dye my hair. I don't know.
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
Or maybe I'll grow a mullet. I mean, it's almost there already.
You should.
Yeah. Speaking of Heiner, next week, we're pre-gaming next week. Maybe we'll try to find somebody that's doing their first Heiner or something like that. We'll see. But yeah, it'll be the Monday eve before the Heiner 50K and 25K, which is the biggest trail party of the year.
Yeah.
And we're excited.
Yeah. Yeah, next week we're going to give, I mean, we do this every year, but it's great to hear some of this stuff again. We'll give some advice if it's your first hiner, if it's your, if it's your 10th hiner, you'll get some good advice too. So we'll talk about Heiner, we'll talk about who's running, we'll talk about all the things that we're excited about Heiner, because it's the biggest trail party of the year in all of Pennsylvania. And it's going to be fun. We'll see if we have people on. Let's see who shows up.
It's going to be a blast, as usual, for episode 111.
Good job. That was very dramatic.
111. Oh, come on. That's, yeah. It's amazing.
You did a great job with it.
Thanks. But yeah, tune in next week at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. That's important because we're not on the West Coast or in the central part of the country.
That's right.
Get ready to buy all your stocks because they're really low. We'll just leave it at that. And
there you go.
And have a good week. I mean, it's a good week to run. It's not a good, tomorrow's no good to run. It's too cold.
It's cold. That's fine.
Hey, real quick, I got to make fun of myself one more time. And all this stuff we're talking about and peaking and training blocks, you want to know what I did? I never looked at a calendar. I used this thing right here, which is, there's some smart stuff going on in here, Grace. But I miscalculated and thought I had 3 weeks left in my race, and I really have 4. So there's a free week in there that, I mean, this training, I don't usually train very dedicated, but I have been. Mm-hmm. And that kind of threw a loop in things. I'm okay. Everything's fine. Oof. We're going to peak when we want to.
Right.
It was like, whoa. So anyway.
It was like what?
Whoa.
Oh, okay. No, I hate that. I hate when I peak too early. It happens.
Yeah, well, I was about to, but luckily we caught it, and I'm fine. Everything's fine. Just going to be one more week of destroying myself, and we're good. What are you doing this weekend?
I don't know. I'm mostly just prepping for Horseshoe Trail, so I don't have any. I have zero plans as of right now for the weekend. I don't know what's going to happen. It's a mystery.
Wow. Ask me what I'm doing.
What are you doing this weekend, Eric?
Becky and I are going down to southwestern PA to Andrew Boyd's house area. I don't know where it's at, but we're doing a last man standing race. But nobody's going for the win or any silliness like that. We're just going to do big miles for Saturday and enjoy ourselves and who knows. But yeah, it should be a fun time. Yeah. Fat ass type backyard race with good people, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I really like the setup of this race, and I hope that I can do it. I hope they do it again next year, and if they do, I'm definitely signing up. It's bad timing for me this year, but I really like the structure of it, so that'll be a fun thing for us to talk about too.
Yeah. Yep. So you're right. That'll we can talk about that on the show and how that was. So excited. All right. Thanks for joining in. Grace, you got anything else to say?
You guys are awesome. Eric, you're awesome. Your mustache is just so impressive. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And tune in every Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Facebook Live and on the YouTube Live. And you can catch us also on the podcasts, on the Spotify's and the iTunes, and you can leave us some reviews and some likes, and maybe subscribe on the YouTube. Maybe we'll get it up to 500 subscribers. I think that's a good goal, and we all should have goals in life. And my other goal is to have a mustache like yours. I don't think it's ever going to happen, though. I don't have the right genes for that. It's sad. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. You're awesome.